Ready, down, put, 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 put.
All Packers, all the time.
I think he's got a chance. When years ago, I was like, oh my God, I don't think this guy's going to be very good at all. I'm willing to allow for the possibility that he's going to be good.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you. Also sponsored by Century Foods. Win two tickets to see Green Bay host Kansas City on Sunday, December 3rd. Compliments of Century Foods. Find the weekly code on Century's Facebook or Instagram and enter to win.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, dudes.
What up, guy?
Jason, hey, I promise, man, we'll be less combative than Matt LaFleur was yesterday.
I didn't think he was combative.
The first 38 seconds was very combative.
But no, why, Jason, can I ask you a question? Why do they act like that when they know the question's coming? Like, they're all annoyed by it. Like, you know this is coming.
Yeah, I don't... first of all, they... Like... all right, so I've had Holmgren for 3 years, Rhodes for one, Sherman for what, six?
Yes.
McCarthy for 12 and change, and now LaFleur for five. And... like, I think, I don't want to say it was an act, because I do think he was annoyed. But again, I think, maybe Matt LaFleur is playing chess when the rest of us are playing checkers. But by doing that, he blew up the whole thing and never had to actually provide answers that would potentially make his left tackle look bad. And he loves to put the onus on himself, kind of like Rodgers with the relax.
Yeah.
R-E-L-A-X. We're going to be fine.
Well,
and putting it on him. Like. Here's
but he
the
didn't
thing.
Put it on him yesterday, Jason. He put it on Bakhtiari.
Well, sure he did. No. Sure, we're talking about it right now. We're talking about LaFleur's behavior. We're not talking about Bakhtiari and whether he's on, because we still, none of us can say for certain if he's not playing in games on turf, right? That's one. Two, by shutting it down when he did, and Cassidy Hill from the Journal Sentinel was the one who said, just to clarify, and that's when he...
Yeah, that's combative, Jason. You cut somebody off in the middle of a question to go, well, I'm shutting this down. That's combative.
Yeah, here's the deal. The question that needed to be asked that he prevented from being asked, which I think was his goal, was Rashid Walker told us that David Bakhtiari informed him on Saturday night that he was going to be starting, that David wasn't going to be able to go, and Sheed was going to have to start. And the question that, by doing this, he prevented us from getting to, because it was going to be my next question. Like, mm-hmm. had Cassidy not chimed in, I was going to follow up my question about if this game is at Lambeau Field, does he play in it? My next question was going to be, Rashid Walker told us that David informed him that he wasn't going to play.
That Ferris passed out at 31 night. Flavors last night?
Correct. I used that last night, actually.
Oh, did you?
With KBN or with, I can't remember if it was with KBN or with Rutledge and Hamilton, but I definitely did the same thing. So great minds think alike.
All right.
When did you know you weren't going to have Bakhtiari? And he prevented that question from being asked, because that, to me, was a very important question. After Rob asked his, you know, we kind of hatched our own plan. And now I'm going to have to go into the Joker with, you were a schemer, you had plans, and he foiled them by doing what he did. So I think the overarching thing is that he's frustrated. Like, if you guys heard me later with him.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm frustrated? Yeah, I do. Because between the Bakhtiari saga, losing Jenkins to an injury, I don't care what he said about Jordan Love. I saw Jordan in the locker room, and I gave him a little grief because I had been the one after the game in Chicago who had asked him. And again, for that small group of fans that think that either I don't like Jordan or whatever, like, he and I are cultivating a good working relationship. I really like him. And I asked him after Chicago, did you ever consider sliding at the end of those runs? And is that something you should maybe think about doing in the future? So he comes in the locker room yesterday with a gigantic bag of ice, like the kind you would get out of the cooler at the grocery store where they have to, like, key in the code because it's hard to scan in. It's so big. And a contraption in, like, a miniature suitcase with a shoulder strap that is clearly one of those ice machines that you put ice in, and then, it, you know, you wrap it around your leg or whatever's injured, and it pumps the cold water through to reduce swelling, and a big sleeve on his leg. And so I'm standing leaning against the garbage can on his way out of the door, and I said, what do you got there? I said, I don't want to sound overprotective of you, but as the person who asked about sliding, does this have anything to do with the end of that run where you kept going anyway? He's like, yeah, it might. And then off he went. And then I asked LaFleur about it, right?
Yep.
And LaFleur, which this was awesome. Like, I'm going to use this in a story later in the week, and I'm going to ask Jordan about it tomorrow. But I love the fact that his answer when LaFleur told him, get your ass down and slide, was, I thought we needed some juice. And I respect the hell out of that, because that is a young guy who I am still trying to figure out what his leadership style is going to be, and if he can break out of the I'm always calm, cool, and collected guy. Like, he talked some crap at the end of that run, too, right? After he took the hit?
Yeah.
Just like he talked smack at the end of the run where in preseason where the dude landed on him and got the late hit penalty. Like, he showed a little bit of fire at the end of things, which we don't see very often from him. And I'm starting to think, all right, here's a guy who knows what he's doing there, because he doesn't do it often or it would lose its impact, but he picks his spots. The problem is, if you put yourself at risk and you go Anthony Richardson and get yourself a concussion or something more severe, then you can't help your team win, and then we got to play Sean Clifford, and who knows what will happen.
If we get NFL films, by the way, if we get the NFL films version of, hey, can you slide? Well, I think we needed something. That's going to be the modern-day version of, hey, no more rocket balls, please. Oh, but I'm all chinged up.
He sounds more like Brett than he does Aaron, which I love. I mean, I love the kid. Jason, do you know how much nickel they played in the game?
I have not gone back. I was going to do that today. And because it's hard when I'm at a game and we're high above, not that you guys care about what my notebook looks like, but like on the working from left to right on each line, I write down distance, what happens in the play. Right. But
yeah.
Then on the far right side of the piece of paper, I put the package. So like if the Packers are on offense, I write down the five skill position players. Right, because there's
yeah.
a quarterback and five linemen, right? No. And then if it's defense, I write down base, nickel,
yeah.
dime, whatever. And I have not, because I watched on TV because I wasn't in Atlanta, I haven't done that yet. I have to get on NFL Plus to do that.
I was just wondering if Joe Barry knows that nickel isn't as good against the run. I was just wondering.
Wait,
that.
It's not?
No, not really. You kind of want to go big. When you think they're going to run, sometimes they bring guys into the box, and sometimes they go big. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
What if they do both?
Because I know he loves nickel. Now, back to LaFleur's press conference, when he said the defense got shredded, was that intentional, or you think he didn't want to let that out? Was that just his emotions?
No, because yesterday he doubled. This is another good question. You guys are on guys are on fire. So that's what I thought, right? after the game. He's pissed off. Yeah, we got shredded consistently.
The consistently that's is what put it over the top for
yeah,
me.
That's the cherry.
right? So I'm thinking, okay, the emotion got the better of the old ball coach. But then yesterday, he's asked about the run defense again, and he said, yeah, we got gashed.
Let's go ahead, like, Jason. Let's go ahead and listen. It's not a very long clip because he was very short and to the point when he was asked about the run defense yesterday.
After rewatching on film, what did you see with your run defense yesterday?
Yeah, it wasn't good. We got gashed.
So then Bill Huber, who asks the original question, and I are both like, oh my God, I can't believe that was his answer. And we both at the same time, like, Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Yeah.
Say, why? Because that's really what we're looking for here. We know you got gashed and shredded and whatever other word you want to use. Why is the key there? And so that was what Bill asked and I asked at the same time. And I didn't think he gave a outstanding answer to that. But yes, he's clearly irritated and clearly sick of having a defense that, look, I think head coaches' jobs are to delegate, right? And obviously, it's up to the defensive coordinator. If he's going to be the offensive play caller and the head coach, the defensive coordinator has to have a handle on what they're going to do. And to Chewy's point about personnel, I think that's a question that's a very valid question to be asked. On top of that, I just think he has – I think if he had expounded on that, and was willing to throw Desmond Ridder under the bus a little bit, I think the answer that he probably wants to say, but he's not going to go this far into letting his emotions control his answer, is we should have made Desmond Ridder beat us. Yeah. And I'm not sure he could have. Like, we should have said, we're not letting Bijan Robinson and Algier, and they're not beating us. So if Desmond Ridder can do what Ryan Tannehill did when he came in here and we shut down Derrick Henry, but they threw for 300 and some yards, then so be it. But Desmond Ridder, we should have made him beat us. And we didn't, and we lost. Now, he would never say that to us, but that is the vibe I got from the way he handled those questions.
Have you noticed any change in Joe Barry's calling of a defensive game, or does it look just same old, same old?
So in his defense, right, he did bring in an extra lineman a few times. He brought in Isaiah McDuffie at one point to have like three inside linebackers on the field at once.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what his thought process is. Look, this is the slippery slope that happens, though. You know, during your career, right, Holmgren had Ray Rhodes first, then he had Fritz. And when he would get frustrated, he would go to his defensive coordinator, but he wouldn't necessarily tell him what to do, right? Is that fair?
Yes,
that's
very fair.
Description?
Yep.
And I feel like LaFleur got to a place of frustration with his he clearly likes Joe Barry, the guy, a ton, right? I mean,
sure.
They worked together in the past, et cetera. But, like, I'm still – the part of this season, aside from all the young offensive players and the Jordan Love first-year starter thing, the fascinating aspect of the season for me is that they kept Joe Barry, and then they basically told him all the stuff he was going to do that isn't part of the Vic Fangio system. You're going to have your number one corner who – by the way, it was not very good on Sunday. You're going to have your number one corner travel with opposing number one receivers. Like, he was with Drake London for most of the day. We're going to play more press man, bump and run coverage. Well, that's not what you play. You play zone in this system. And then I want you to be more aggressive with the guys up front, which Kenny Clark was fantastic. Like, for a team that gave up the run the way they did, like, Kenny Clark played well. They just avoided him, I thought. And so I what I think is odd is that you keep a guy, but then you tell him he's going to run a defense completely different than what he came here to do. So, you know, you should have hired Evero, who, you know, ended up I think he was with Hackett for a year, right? And then I don't know where he is now. He's a coordinator in the league again. But he runs the Spangio scheme, but he's a younger guy with new ideas. He was the guy that I wanted when Jim Leonard, it didn't work out with Jim Leonard. He was the guy that I thought was going to be a smart hire, and it appears that he's a guy who's on a fast track to become a head coach. Joe Barry, again, nice enough fellow, but if you don't believe in his ability to run the defense and be effective, and you feel like you need to tell him what to do, then why is he still here is the question I keep wanting to ask. And no one's going to ever answer that. I'm going to be told we're done with that. I'm done. I'm not talking about it. But the fact of the matter is that these are the kind of questions that you create when you change the defense with the same guy.
Jason, we're up against it. So just I'm going to let you know when you join us. Well, I guess I won't be here on Thursday, but I'll be listening for an answer because I'm out Thursday, Friday. But the thing I want to know is everybody was being super secret squirrel about Quay Walker and how they were going to use him. Have they used him any differently through two games than they used him at all last year?
No, that's a good question. And I would love to give you like, oh, taking the Tausch of treatment of taking some days off, but you work so hard. I can't even make fun of you for taking the day off.
Well,
I hate that about you.
I appreciate that, Jason. But I look forward to hearing the answer on Thursday or Friday when you join the show on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Thanks, Jason.
All right, dudes. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildo joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We went a little long with Jason, but we had a lot of... Look, we didn't even get to everything I wanted to talk about with Jason. A lot of things to get into. We'll continue to dive into, including, again, replaying that sound about the defense that he gave yesterday. Not a great week for Matt LaFleur. He's upset. I don't know if I've ever seen him this angry. One of the things that shouldn't make you angry, Palermo's. And did you know that Palermo's makes over 100 million pizzas a year?
It's a lot of za game.
Yeah, let that sink in, Joshy. 100 million pizzas a year. How cool is that? I think it's cool enough to dub them the coolest thing made in Wisconsin. Because WMC is hosting their coolest thing made in Wisconsin contest. You can vote for Palermo's Pizza by visiting madeinwis.com. And Palermo's Pizza, of course, you hear me talk about it all the time. Yesterday we were talking about all the different Screamin' Sicilian. Like, they have four, five, six different brands within Screamin' Sicilian. They have Urban Pie Connie's, and of course, from the hit Netflix series Stranger Things, they have Surfer Boy Pizza. 100 million pizzas made per year right here in Wisconsin. Really cool. So you should vote for them in the coolest thing made in Wisconsin contest at madeinwis.com because Palermo's, it's Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it. But it's not enough. It's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, yeah, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.